Blog Talk Radio.
Trump indicted. The news that former U.S. President Donald J. Trump was indicted by a New York grand jury related to the Stormy Daniels controversy hit like a thunderclap. Few saw it coming, especially after earlier news accounts reported the grand jury would essentially take the month of April off. But what a difference a day makes. Once again, Trump made history again. Formerly the first president to be twice impeached, now becomes president ever indicted criminally. Who knows what will happen? No one does. Doubtless, his lawyers will mount a serious challenge to the statute of limitations and other legal theories. So, stay tuned, because it ain't over at indictment. Because indictment is just a charge. We shall see. With love, not fear, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
And greetings, Mad Hotep to everyone. Welcome to another segment, A New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and my goodness, this has been a very interesting day. I don't know if where you are, there was like this sudden rain thing that happened just out the clear blue sky. I mean, it was gusty winds, and wow, it was just really, really interesting. But hey, today is Earth Day. So maybe that was a part of it. I don't know, but it was interesting, and that puts it mildly. At any rate, family, we want to thank you all again for tuning in to this segment of New Day. We started off tonight, of course, with Mumia Abu-Jamal, and needless to say, there is a lot that needs to be said about that. And on Monday, we will be commemorating Mumia's Earth Day. And we will also hold a session Monday evening on Zoom for those who are interested to, really do some work now that's relevant to freeing Mumia Abu-Jamal and all of our political prisoners. But, of course, here in Philly and elsewhere, we have to put a major emphasis on Mumia, given the fact that the judge recently denied his filing for a new trial. And so, you know, we as black folks need to step it up because there's some really interesting stuff going on. And if we do not begin to kind of take a different kind of position in that, I don't know what is going to happen. But then on the other hand, I think I do know. But anyway, I'm trying to give you more insight into that as we move forward. At any rate, I want to thank you all again for tuning in. Coming up very shortly, we should be talking with Sister Angela Sales, who is going to give us a special report. Now, for those who do not know, there is a conference taking place in Baltimore. It started, I think, on Wednesday. And it's really kind of interesting. And so we want to kind of get some closer insight into what's going on. But at any rate, Sister Angela is there, and I will be there actually tomorrow to kind of check things out, more so to do some networking because there is quite a few people there and definitely folks that are coming in from different, actually from different countries. And so what I'm realizing is there is element that is really not in the mix the way that it should be when it comes to dealing with international kinds of interactions that represent our people. And when I say that, I mean the boots on the ground, in the hood kind of stuff. For some reason, that element oftentimes is not amply represented. There's a few scattered here and there, but not anywhere near what there should be. So I'm going tomorrow to not only observe, but to also make sure that information is circulated in regards to our We Charge Genocide 521 platform, but also some other things like, oh, free Mumia Abu-Jamal and all of our political prisoners. How about what's going on right there in Baltimore with Sister Tawanda Jones and others as it pertains to the murders that our people have endured, let's just say in the past 5 years, 10 years. How is any of that being discussed or addressed? Well, I kind of already know, but we're going to get a lot more insight, not only tonight when we talk to Sister Angela, but also tomorrow when I kind of, you know, peruse the place and get some other kinds of information that I'll report back to you on next Saturday. But at any rate, we're going to talk about that tonight. But also, there's some real other kind of interesting things going on. And one of those things happened to be, let's do this. Someone else is going to be joining us tonight before I go into that. And that's going to be Sister Angela, who is Khalifa, is going to be joining us. And she, of course, is from the Nat Turner Legacy Group. So she's going to be joining us later. And actually, we are continuing our collaboration that we started some time ago. And it's going to be very interesting to see how we now bring that forward, which we will in a few months. Because, again, there's going to be a special kind of thing going on in August dealing with the land that Nat Turner was on and owned, actually. At any rate, we're going to talk about that in a little more tonight. But in the meantime, before we do that, let's go to some stuff that's in the news. There's a lot of things going on, family, and I'm just curious about what some of you all think is of some newsworthy discussion or noting. And so I'm going to go to you for a few moments to kind of get some ideas about some things in the news that you want to talk about. One thing that caught my eye before I go to you is a brother was eaten by bed bugs and lice in a cell. Did y'all hear about that particular situation? Well, just one of the news stories that I wanted to kind of get some feedback on. So if you have a news story that you like to share, by all means, press 1. And we want to just talk briefly about some of the stuff that's going on in the news this past week. So we're going to go to caller. You're at 9498-9498. Your mic is open. Welcome to this segment, A New Day.
Sister Philly, what's going on? How you doing, Philly?
Hey, Ray, how are you? That was a great session on Wednesday. I mean, that brother, I got to get with you because I want to get the book. And I didn't get a chance to write everything down, so I need to get with you about getting his book. But hey, how you be, my brother?
Yeah, Dr. Mendelson, he's going to matter of fact, he's hooking up a tribute to Dr. Ben. And we're trying to work on the small things. Now, yeah, I read about I didn't really read the whole thing, but I passed it over with minimum of concern because I said, you know, I'm gonna go back and read it. That the guy, they like the bed bugs ate him up, and I got to find out what jail he was in. You know,
I'll pull it back up in a few moments, and I'll definitely share it with you. But that's just. I mean, can you imagine this?
I got to see what jail he was in, what state he was in. Like I said, but I did hear about it. But like you said, there's a lot of things going on. Some of it is real and some of it is psyops.
Wow.
You know, of course, the election is coming and out of the clear blue sky, black folks. It's like the same game being repeated to get black folks to vote. You know, all of a sudden, Chicago being the epicenter of gang activity, Obama's hometown, and all of a sudden, massive amounts of people could just go in there and destroy Walmarts and all that, and it seemed like the only thing that wasn't there was Black Lives Matter signs. But
right.
You know, millions of in
right.
Obama, Rahm Emanuel, Oprah Winfrey, all these big high-profile people is from Chicago, and all these, and this mayor just says they did something silly. Something right.
Something right. 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 That's
so
right.
So I don't know. There's going to be something to be looking at, you know, where all this stuff is happening. We're going to see what happens. So other than that, you know, what it is what it is.
Wow. Well, again, there's a lot going on. There's going to be a lot going on. And I'm always, you know, looking at what our plan is. And I know that you and others definitely know what time it is. And I feel very confident that we are going to not only survive whatever it is these people come up with, but we're going to be part of the energy, the catalyst or whatever that helps to move our people forward. I strongly believe that.
Well, the people, they are in a good position as far as the masses of people, but the big people behind the scenes got black people acting like puppets. They're doing things, and when you look at the background, you see that they're being funded by these big, high-profile globalists like Soros and all these people, and they just they got these bully bulls acting real strange.
Well, you know, that's been going on for at least 100 years, so we kind of know.
100 or more.
Right, yeah, I'm just saying we know we can document at least 100 years, at least. I mean, we can really show the clear evidence of the boule in particular for the past 100 years. So knowing that now, we need to be coming up with what are we going to do? See, this is what I keep saying because, you know, we can't leave this burden on that next generation like it is now. We just can't. So in examining 100 years of what these gatekeepers and bootlickers and so forth have done, you know, those of us that know that, we need to be the ones coming up with how we're going to now address some of that, because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? So unfortunately,
well, like I always say, we do what we can. We do what we can, and there's always not a whole bunch of people on the outside, Sister Filet.
Well, it ain't got to be a whole lot, brother. If you look at the various insurrections and responses to these people that have happened in the past, it wasn't a whole lot of folk. And so, you know, we the ones we've been waiting for. That's the way I've been looking at it and saying it. We're the ones we've been waiting for. And like you said, we got to do whatever we can, you know, whatever that is. But now, hey, we got to really move this thing forward. But Brother Ray, I thank you much. I'm going to come back to you shortly. I see Sister Angela is in queue. And I want to get this report because just like with what you're saying about, you know, how things are operating with Boule and others, this stuff nowadays, see, before, you could easily kind of, you know, see and tell who was who. Nowadays, though, this stuff is so, it's so fine-tuned that it's hard sometimes to differentiate and distinguish. Because, man, I know some people, they can quote Amos Wilson, they can quote Francis Quest Wilson, oh, they can give you a whole rundown on what Dr. Ben said and did and all of that.
And yes, and it's only in the $2 bill.
You got that right. So again, we need to be cognizant of that. And again, how and what way can we respond? And lastly, on that note, I teach and train and advocate in this kind of way. If an entity is not striving and moving towards self-determination, meaning us being independent, and that some of our operations are exemplifying that, then they should be deemed a suspect. Just that simple. Now that's my interpretation. That's my evaluation. If they ain't either supporting something or doing something that is about self-determination, beware. That's my advice. But Brother Ray, I want you to stay right there. I'm gonna come back to you shortly. I want to bring in Sister Angela, because I know she's in a session, and I want to grab her while I can. And she is, of course, in Baltimore at the conference is called The State of the Black World. And so I want to get her analysis and report on what she's been able to to see and be a part of up to this point. Like I said, I will be there tomorrow. I'm really going to network, to be honest with you, and also to exchange information. But anyway, let's go to Sister Angela and get her report and get some insight into what's going on. Hey, sis, how you be tonight?
Greetings, Empress. I be doing all right. I'm tuning in live from the city of Be More, not Be Less, but Be More.
I know that's right.
Thanks for having me on tonight. I can only come on for a brief minute because I'm in the middle of some very important conversations, and I need to get back to them, but I wanted to honor my word and come on and give you a bit of a report of what's been going on here in Baltimore.
So go ahead with it.
All right. So, I was invited here to the State of the Black World to represent the Global African Sheroes Union, of which I'm the international host and chair for, a fairly new organization, maybe about 6, going on 7 years old. I've been in leadership here for 3, maybe going on 4 years. We are a group of global African women that are operating now in 18 regions globally. And, of course, my work, with women began under your tutelage with the 20-year anniversary of MWM. One of our Queen Mother Shero, Dr. Beekman, she flew in from the Netherlands and was part of the panel. And so that's really what brought me up here. Honestly, this conference was not on my radar to attend for this year, but I came to support, my sister, because in leadership, that's what you have to do. And so the State of the Black World, I think this is like 5th to 5th year for them. Of course, it's convened by Dr. Ron Daniels, who has the Institute of the Black World. And I've heard about him and kind of, listened to some of his information here and there throughout the years, but not, someone I really follow.
Right.
But, I was coming just kind of, to observe and see what this thing was all about. And so the theme was African, right? Africa Rising, reparations, and that's, pretty much the big topic. It was around reparative justice. And so it's a 5-day conference. It's taking place at the Baltimore Convention Center in downtown Baltimore. And you know, the style of the conference is interesting because they have had panel discussions. The opening was on Wednesday, and there was supposed to be, the president of Ghana was supposed to come here, but he did not attend. I guess he was invited. He did not attend. President Mia Motley was also invited, but she did not attend. I think they have the former prime minister of Jamaica, P.J. Patterson. He did attend. Some people I know that I've worked with are here, like Stephen Golding. He's the Pan-African, I think, reparations movement in Jamaica. And he also runs the UNIA down there. He's the son of a former prime minister, but he's here. But the emphasis on the reparations here, and then, of course, they had, you know, folks, I guess, that have been doing this for years, like Julianne Malvo, Mark Morial was here, Melvin Foote, and Kishi Taifa, what's her name,
yeah.
Bobby Wine was on the youth. Our sister Kim Poole did the hip-hop caucus with Reverend Lennox Yearwood, I believe his name is. And Dr. Jeffries came in here last night. He wasn't on stage, but he came to support. David Commissioning from Barbados, Commission, I think you pronounced his name. And there was a lot of representation from the Caribbean here, and the vice president of Colombia also sent a senator, sent her representation along with her translator. She spoke at the women's leadership breakfast that we attended yesterday morning. And so there's, you know, various folks, I guess, that usually come to this conference that are here, and some people that I don't know, you know, that I met that work in various organizations. But what I find quite interesting is there just seems to be a lot of organizations working and, you know, working on this issue from various capacities and, you know, Pan-African organizations. We particularly are talking about Article 3Q, which is the 20-year anniversary for, well, commemoration, 20-year commemoration of Article 3Q, which is when the African Union recognize the sixth region. It happened in Maputo, Mozambique. And so we'll be going there this July to commemorate that, and the African Union, Africa Diaspora, AUADS is initiating and launching a high council there during that time. And so, I mean, there's folks here. Miriam Fanon is here. France Fanon's daughter is here. And so she flew in from France. And so, I think Danny Glover was here. I didn't see him. I think he opened up on the first day. I know he's been like, I don't say a figurehead, but like a celebrity figure in this space,
right,
I guess, for some years. So, you know, I'm actually here learning. I have learned a lot about some of the work that has, you know, been put in towards reparations. I guess some of the folks that have been doing this for their life are here, and then you have some young people here. But I guess there's two lessons I'm walking away with this with. One is a lot of people are doing similar type of work, but we're very siloed. And nationally and internationally in the work that we're doing, which means that we're not organized as folks that have a similar interest in, in getting reparations and getting, and whatever that looks like, if it's in your city, if it's your national country. I know CARICOM has been recognized by the African Union, and they're working with them. Actually, they're going to have direct flights to the continent now. They're, you know, opening up business with several countries over there. Also, I know that in the Netherlands, Dr. Beekman was central in getting that government to apologize for slavery. I don't know if you all heard about that, but the Netherlands has apologized for slavery. And that was her work that made that happen. So, but one of the things is just, you know, I title myself a unity broker, and brokering unity is a very difficult thing. And this is, you know, politics at its finest. But it's kind of like we have to get our house in order. We have to get it in order now because we don't have time to just be, you know, infighting. It's just like, you know, we're at the bottom of this boat here. And when the boat goes down, you know, we are impacted the most. So that's one thing. One of my observations is just us being siloed and considering how we work together. And particularly as women, can we, you know, bridge some of those gaps and those hurt spaces and, you know, move forward. The other thing I observed was that, what was the other thought that I wanted to share? The emphasis on, you know, reparations and looking just at the diaspora period, they have had more emphasis on North America and CARICOM, a little on Latin America, but they don't consider Europe, Oceania, Australia, you know, and the other, you know, there's other people of African descent in other places, you know, the Middle East. And so that's one of the values that the High Council is bringing, because there are folks that are have done this work, and they're not just in the U.S. and they're not just in the Caribbean, but, you know, in other places. And there's also, you know, the diasporas that have repatriated on the continent. Right. There's quite a few, maybe in the hundreds of thousands. And they're kind of, once they move back to the continent, they're not considered diaspora anymore. So that's the whole situation. But they also, you know, people don't just get up and move to Africa without consciousness. So it's probably likely that those of us that have come from the Caribbean, North America, Europe, and moved back to the continent, whatever country, have some level of consciousness to even want to leave and uproot and go back to Africa. But when they get there, right, the fact of the matter is it's difficult to get citizenship, you know, get to do a passport, the residency. Like, you know, it's still a situation where we're treated a lot like, not like brothers and sisters, which is what we want, but treated like foreigners when we go, and it hasn't been made easy. So I think part of the reparatory justice is more of a holistic conversation too, and just, you know, holding account all parties and how we, you know, build the case so that, you know, healing and those reparations can be realized from all sides. And so that's some of, you know, what has occurred here. Tonight they're doing some awards. They have awards ceremony. I think they're giving out legacy awards. I didn't go to that particular ceremony because I have a meeting here with the Kingdom of Kush. I don't know if you all have heard about them, but they are they really haven't done media, so maybe I shouldn't say too much about it, but they kind of just went public maybe 2021, but they're working to create a territory for the diaspora on the continent to have a sovereign land. Because one of the things about the diaspora in the sixth region and us not being organized is that a nation state has to have a land, has to have land. A nation state has land, and we don't have that. So
right,
that is their effort to try to make that happen. And the Kingdom of Kush was actually an ancient, you know, kingdom. I'm just, you know, learning more about it and trying to see, you know, explore the legitimacy and things like that. But, so I'm here and I'm, you know, still a student and still learning. But, yep, that's what's going on. And we're just working through trying to identify folks that want to work together, because that's really, you know, for me at the end of the day, what it's about. I don't want to, what'd you say? I want to work with people who want to work with me. So
sure,
that's how we're doing.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's wonderful. And, I, you know,
always loving your spirit, and that's so important in this work because it is complicated. It's very complicated. What I found is that we have to realize that we come from different nations. And so with that, you know, some of us are, you know, come from a farmer, fishing, warrior, you know, kind of descendancy. So obviously putting that all together can definitely be challenging, and that puts it mildly. And so that's what I've come to realize is that we have to take all those things into consideration when we talk about unity. If you don't, you know, begin to examine those elements, those realities, that some of our people were nomads. Some of our people were, you know, all kinds of, you know, silversmith, goldsmith, or whatever. The point is we come from different nations. And so those variables or those other kinds of dynamics are going to, you know, play into this. So that's been my observation in terms of how we are able to now, you know, move forward in bringing about what I call practical unity, because, you know, these are the things that, in fact, are creating, you know, the kinds of interferences by us not, you know, really grasping that there are some very intricate things about who we are as a people. So I really applaud, you know, what you're doing, my sister, your observations as usual. You're on point, and certainly I find the conference interesting for a lot of other reasons. Because I'm familiar with some of the players, and I said that word for a reason. But again, in the bigger scheme of things, you know, all of these things have plus sides to them. So, you know, we try to focus on that. But real quick, let me just ask you, so you tell us a little bit about, because you did mention to me about the hip-hop session, and you said that was really powerful. Can you just share with us briefly a little bit about that session? Uh-oh, what happened? Where are you? Uh-oh. Somehow we lost you. Can you hear me, Sister Angela? Oh, smack, what happened? I'm not hearing you. Okay, maybe she will call back because somehow we got disconnected or lost or something. But anyway, as I was saying, you know, some of the players at this conference are, you know, pretty much what we would expect, and I'm sure that there's a lot of folks there who really are, you know, working in a way that is really going to not necessarily represent the status quo as much, because as you heard, you know, of some of the attendants, certainly that was kind of, you know, some of what the representation was of certain types. And we know that this has to happen because there has to be international kinds of involvement, you know, when you're doing certain kinds of things. However, you know, you don't often hear about the grassroots folk. And so that's one of the things when you hear us, you know, bring in the We Trust Genocide 21 Project and our Queen Mother Moore Weekend that will take place July 25th through the 30th. You'll definitely hear from some of the folk who literally are in our communities on a national level for the real, on the real. That's part of our commitment, mission, and so forth, to make certain that the work that's being done in our communities as it pertains to anything that's relevant to justice, but certainly reparatory justice, i.e. reparations and those things that are connected to that, we're going to make sure that you know who some of these people are. And I know some of them are at that conference. We're very familiar with Brother Cam. He's there, and so he's from Chicago, and he's definitely boots on the ground. So, you know, so there are a few people that we definitely know, but there are a lot of other folk that I did not hear would be there certainly weren't highlighted. And so we want to definitely make sure we're able to do that, you know, when we bring forward our We Charge Genocide Queen Mother Moore weekend. We Charge Genocide 21, that is. And we will be focusing on 21 areas of crimes against humanity. So I'm going to tell you more about that shortly. However, we now have, I think Sister Angela just texted me something, but we now are going to bring in our second guest for tonight. I see that our sister Angela Khalifa is in queue, and so we want to bring her in to really talk about what's been going on, of course, with the Nat Turner land and Nat Turner legacy there in Virginia. But also we want to talk about what's coming up and also give you some insight into how we're going to bring forward our collaboration that we talked to you about last year. Well, we are ready to now do some things this year and to really now, you know, create the kind of presence, consistency, and really represent in that spirit of self-determination of our great freedom-fighting ancestors, et cetera, et cetera. So let me do this. Let's go to our live line, and let's bring in our sister, Angela Khalifa. And, again, we're going to talk about the legacy of Nat Turner, but also, you know, how we're connecting the black dots today for real justice, real liberation, and so forth. So without further ado, hey, greetings to you, my sister. How are you this evening? Uh-oh, what's going on? I'm not hearing you now. This is weird. Can you hear me? Something is really kind of weird. I'm not hearing anything. Wow. And I know she's in queue because I'm looking right at her, but something strange is going on, family. So let me see what's happening here. Okay, something is going on that's strange. I'm not able to hear her. We lost Sister Angela. Let me see. Wow. Okay. Sister Angela, if you can hear me, you might need to hang up and call back in because I'm not hearing you. So, I'm not sure what's going on with that. Okay, let's try something else. Try calling you from the boards. Maybe we can connect with you that way because I'm not hearing you at all. All right, family. In the meantime, bear with me. We're going to try to connect with her via my boards because for some reason I'm not hearing her. Okay, she did hear me because she just hung up, but I could not hear her. All right, I'm going to try reaching her through my board, so bear with me. Let's see if we can do it that way. Okay, let's see. Strange stuff is going on tonight, family, but bear with us. We're going to try to get through this. 1, 2, 3. Okay, let's see if we can get her through this way. Hopefully. Well, it's ringing.
Thank you for calling. You've reached 434-637-1230. Kindly leave a positive message at the tone, and your call will be returned. Have a great day.
That's really strange. Okay. I'm not sure what's going on, family. We're going to try one more time. I know that she mentioned earlier that there was a storm going on there, as there was, you know, in a few other places, but apparently the location that she's in, it had a major effect. So we're going to try one more time. And hopefully we can get through.
Thank you for calling. You've reached 434-637-1230. Kindly leave a positive.
Okay. All right, family, I'm not sure what's going on there, but kind of, let me see. That kind of changed the dialogue for tonight, because we really were looking forward to having her to give us some information about what's going on with the land and so forth. Okay, moving right along. I'm going to go back to Brother Ray Ray for a moment. Let me see if Brother Ray Ray's still in queue, because I do have a couple of questions I can ask him in the meantime while we hopefully Sister will reach out back to us. Brother Ray Ray, are you still there?
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Great, great, great.
Yeah.
Quick question. Are you planning to attend, because we're trying to get a crew here from Philly, are you planning to attend the Malcolm X pilgrimage this year?
Oh, yeah, we always go, yeah.
Okay, cool, okay.
Yeah, we always, Mike, we're always there.
Okay, great. All right, so
and
we're trying to get a group.
Well, what happened is they have to hope that see, before they didn't allow all the buses and everything due to the scandemic. So
right.
You gotta hope that they open it back up where, you know, all the buses could come through. And because this time it wasn't there. They didn't have the fleet of buses that that they allowed before. So hopefully the cemetery
okay. So yeah, so that the flyer,
yeah, definitely we'll be there.
Okay. Yeah, the flyer that I saw indicated that there's not going to be any buses. So, but they're saying that, people still they still want people to come, but they're not going to have any buses to go.
Yeah, if they don't allow no buses, then you gotta get up there in your own personal car or somebody that
right.
has a car. And so it looked like that's going to still be in effect, but they're just going to not have the buses. But we will definitely be there.
Okay.
Yeah,
so also usually for that day there's a shutdown of the street.
Yeah, usually that day they have a shutdown. They march across 125th Street. The majority of the businesses do close because they don't want no problems, so they do shut down for the time period. But quite naturally,
Okay. Great. Well, I'm glad to hear that, because that has been going on, except of course when everything was shut down for the COVID thing, but that's been going on annually since, of course, Elhaj Malik Malcolm X's death. And if I remember correctly, that was something that his sister had requested, to happen. And Dr. Small and others, of course, have continued to make sure that they, were doing that. So I've had the opportunity to attend a couple of times. And Philly used to be real strong in bringing, a delegation up. And of course, since our Black communities here have just gotten so co-opted, a lot of things that we used to do here is not happening. So that dissipated, to a great extent, particularly after Brother made transition here in Philly, because he was really the one that, made sure that buses and vans and, cars
yeah,
and stuff would come up. Yeah.
Well, the cars, the cars are welcome, but the buses is... And from what you're saying, it don't look like it changed. But, as far as all them buses coming up in there, of course, a lot of people come from Detroit. They came last time, and it just wasn't no buses. You just, if you're coming, you got to be able to your own car.
Right. Okay. Okay. And also, if I remember correctly, is Dr. Ben buried at the same cemetery, Brother Ray Ray?
Malcolm's wife. It's a few people. Paul Robeson, I think, is there.
Yeah. Paul Robeson is.
Yeah.
And Dr. Khaled, of course.
Yeah, Dr. Khaled. I believe Dr. Ben might be there. I'm not sure. You know.
Okay, yeah, if I remember correctly, I think Dr. Ben is there also. But anyway, we plan to, you know, to stop to visit all of them. And, of course, you know, those who are in.
It's definitely a big event to stop by and pay homage to a lot of people that's in that particular cemetery year, you know. But
yeah,
definitely no buses.
Yeah.
From what it looks like, it ain't going to be no buses again, you know.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, the flyer that I have, and it came from the Malcolm X grassroots movement, who, you know, is a major part of coordinating the activity. You know, what I have is indicates that there's not going to be any buses going. You know, people will have to figure out how to get there on their own. They are going to assemble at the regular location, but it's not going to be any buses. So, you know, I don't quite understand that though, Brother Ray Ray. I mean, what does buses have to do with the concern about the pandemic or the COVID thing? That it would seem like that would be more about the
cemetery. I believe the cemetery made the decision that they don't want all them buses because
the buses
bring a lot of people, and then everybody all together, and you still got people still kind of, you know, mindset of the masses of the people is still what it is what it is.
Right.
Until the white man say it's okay, they are still able to historically train the mind to deal what they deal, what they deem, you know, instead of the other, you know. So that's what it is.
Okay. So, Brother Rabbi, going back to what we were talking about a little earlier, the prison that the brother is said to have been eaten alive is in Georgia. It's in Georgia, Fulton County. Now, here's the thing. This happened in 2022, September of 2022, you know, close to almost a year ago.
This is why this stuff is, why is all this stuff coming up now? I tell you, a family member of mine has been in down south penitentiary for the last 25.
Uh-huh.
And he says it is kind of rough in them places. But why are they bringing it up now when they were supposed to bring it up way before?
So it appears, and of course, you know, this may not be the case, but it appears that one of the reasons why it's being brought to the forefront now is because Colin Kaepernick got involved. And supposedly he's paid for or paid some of the monies for there to be an autopsy. So that's why, according to the, you know, what I read, that's one of the reasons why this is now coming out in the forefront again.
Now, yeah, all right. Okay. Okay. All right.
I'm just saying,
like you said,
brother,
bully.
Wow. But in either case, if this did happen the way that it's being reported, man,
the first person I would have been on the scene is that old Ben Crump.
He is. He's the lawyer for the family.
Okay. Well, there you go. There you go. Settlements are, and now you got Colin, who's been so quiet, and now he's paying for an autopsy. Okay. All right. Whatever it is what it is. Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, you know, it is, again, if this has, in fact, happened the way it's been reported, I mean, I'm hoping that the people there in that area are saying something, you know, or trying to say something. Because this is, you know, I just sent you the article, Brother Ray Ray, you know, because it has a picture of the cell that the brother was in.
And if
that's really the truth and that's really what happened, then that, you know, hopefully the people in that area are, in fact, you know, saying something, doing something.
Yeah,
they're showing
the cell, and you know. Well, you do have to remember they got it's a whole bunch of, you know, it ain't like the up south jails, them down south jails or something else.
Wow.
Well,
them down south jails
is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, obviously, if that is really the truth of what we see there, that really has to be brought to the forefront for real, because that's inhumane. That's really inhumane.
Well, you know, it's inhumane, but they're going to wait a whole year and bring it out now around election time? Okay. Okay. And Ben Crump and all of them is around. Okay, and then I'm looking at the body, and, you know, and this is the state of Georgia.
Right.
And who's the congressman? Who's the congressman down there that everybody voted for? And, you know, what is his name? They just put him back in office.
I'm not familiar with him. But, you know, speaking of that, Sister Keisha, when they did Thorough Black Talk this week, she really pointed some very interesting things out about the representatives from Tennessee, the ones who were removed and then apparently put back in office. And so it was a real interesting little tidbit that Sister Keisha brought to the forefront in terms of, you know, who and what they really are in terms of their agenda. And I just find it so interesting that for whatever reason, a lot of black folks that are in office now find it so necessary to advocate for other folks' agendas.
They're brought in souls. You know, I heard, I don't know how true it is, but they supposed to be on the payroll of Soros.
Okay. Well, that sort of makes sense. Wow. Well, all right, family. I was hoping that Sister Angela Khalifa was going to be able to call back in. I know she texted me earlier and said that they had lost power down where she is because of the storm. They had a storm I guess for what we saw here on the East Coast was even a little more than what's going on in the South, because apparently it has affected, you know, some of the communications down there. At any rate, I was hoping
she would call. At the time you talked about it, we just had a massive rain when I was coming home. Like
right.
Rain, it just started raining real hard. It didn't last.
Yeah, we had it here. Yeah, we had it here too, Brother Ray Ray. It was like, and the wind, I mean, it was real interesting. It just kind of came out the blue. I know I didn't know that it was going to happen, but yeah, it was pretty fierce for a minute there. Very, very.
I don't know. I'm gonna go by my man. I'm gonna go by my. My Baltimore connection, Brother Darren, who says there's a lot of things happening. Some psyopses is real, and some psyopses is just fake as a $3 bill.
Well, I don't know what that was, but whatever it was, that was like kind of, I don't know. That was, it was very unexpected and potentially... it could have really been something else. I'll just put it like that. And according to Sister Angela, with the location that she's in, it definitely had an effect, because she did text me earlier and said that the power was going on and off in the location that she's at. So I'm pretty sure that she would have called back in by now if, in fact, you know, something wasn't going on with, you know, with the communications. Affecting things down there. So listen, family, we're going to, I guess, shorten our edition tonight. But before we do, I'm going to share with you one more commentary from Mumia Abu-Jamal. And again, those who are interested in joining us on Monday, it is Mumia's Earth Day. We're looking for folks who also want to sign on to the card that we're going to send him. And, you know, some best wishes, some good thoughts, good vibrations. But we will do a session Monday to talk about how we need to work further in freeing him. So if you want more information about that, you can email me at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, or text me at area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Okay, so we're going to shorten the edition tonight because our guest is not able to join us. But I do want to play, there's a more recent commentary from Mumia Abu-Jamal, so I'm going to share that with you. And then we're going to close this session out for tonight. So here we go with Mumia Abu-Jamal. And this one is called Cracks in the Abode of Death. Here's Mumia.
Cracks in the Abode of Death. Few people really know the nature of death rows. It is used as a political prop by politicians and is thus a stepping stone to their gateway of power. But death row is really far more than that. It is a place where men and women, and until recently, even juveniles, were sent to live and die in aching loneliness and despair. That's because death row was specifically designed to isolate people physically and psychologically. On death row, American law reconstructed a caste of the untouchables where no one was allowed to touch you. Not a child, not a parent, not even one's very spouse. But that's not all. You were even isolated from other people on death row. You were in solitary confinement, locked in a cell, alone, for 23 hours a day, until you were executed or left death row. Many, perhaps most men, spent decades under such conditions. Why? Because the state, by creating such extreme conditions, sought to make people into a kind of living dead, so broken that actual death would be but a relief. That fever seems to be breaking, at least in Pennsylvania. Here, today, there's a much smaller death row. The number has fallen to around 100. And men spend over 8 hours a day out of their cells. They have contact visits. Now the state will no longer sign death warrants and is seeking the abolition of the death penalty. The tide seems to have turned. And death row is no longer the death row of cruel memory. With love, not fear, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
All right. And what can we say? Mumia tends to put things into a perspective and into our minds in, like none other. Certainly not only food, but definitely information that we need to be not only more cognizant of, but that we also need to at some point look at what it is we need to do about it. That's always our position. We not only bring you information for the sake of hearing it, but also to pass on to others and to, in some ways, kind of at least think about what is it that we can do. From my vantage point, I don't see things changing very much in America for us, which means we got to look at what we're going to do to help ourselves. And so that's a conversation that we're going to start having a little more time to begin to examine closer how we must become, to some degree, a bit more independent and not so caught up in this system. If so-called people that are known as Indians and other groups of peoples can have their own governments, their own whatevers, then truly, surely, so can we, and so shall we. So we're going to close this session out tonight, family, because our guest that we thought was going to be joining us unfortunately had some difficulties in getting on, and so we will reschedule Sister Angela Khalifa to come back on at another time. In the meantime, that gives me a little more time to prepare for tomorrow. Brother Ray Ray, we will be going to Baltimore in the morning to, partake in the closing session for the State of the World, Black World. I kind of already know what to expect, but, again, it's going to be good to get information circulated and also to meet some people that I think will be a good thing for us to meet. So I'll definitely be providing a report next Saturday, family, on what my findings were. I'm hoping to hook up with Sister Tawanda tomorrow as well. So, but Brother Ray Ray, when you get a chance, ask Brother Darren what his thoughts are about the conference that's happening in his city. I don't know, has he mentioned anything about it to you or to any of his audience? Have you heard him mention anything about it?
I listened to him today, and I guess he was a good brother, but, when all these black churches and high-profile black folks was taking that money, according to the federal government, that money from the CARES Act to push that injection, he basically called the masses of black folks stupid if they didn't take it. And they start dogging his ass out.
Wow.
In other words, all these people were taking money to push the injection, churches, barbershops, leaders, and they was pushing it, and a lot of people was waking up saying something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he
mm-hmm.
basically said that we were stupid, those who wanted to have a choice and make their own decision. He basically said that they were stupid, and the people started calling in, tearing them up.
Wow. I wasn't aware
but
that
you got to remember, I don't give a damn what they say. The federal government was paying a whole bunch of folks to, and they took that money and blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
And people started calling in and saying, how dare you call somebody stupid? You know, and that was a big thing down there at the State of the Black World.
Oh yeah, well
it's definitely a bad. We in a bad state. That's still being the most unprotected. It's still We are still in a bad state as being the most unprotected race of people. We're still today in New York. Mayors, high big city mayors, and them is breaking. And the people that's been here is getting shafted. So, tell me something about the state of the Black world, okay? It's a sad state.
Wow.
We still unprotected, so tell me about the state. Anytime you could get eaten alive, so they say, and you laying down and getting eaten alive in jail and beat up and still killed and
So, listen, Brother Ray Ray, I just got, it's so interesting because I just got this from someone in New York. And it just shows you what's going on here in Philly with Black folks. I just got that there's a bus leaving from New York tomorrow to come to Philadelphia for an event tomorrow in support of Mumia Abdul-Jabbar. I just got this a little while ago. And let me see, there's a bus.
I think it's leaving Alphabet City. They had I think it was put on by WBAI.
Oh, it doesn't say who sponsors this. It just says, okay, I'm going to try to pull up the flyer, but it just says that they're boarding at 9 a.m. at Union Square East and 17th Street. And let me see. They're leaving at 9 a.m. and they're coming to Philly because there's a rally here in Philly starting at noon. And they will go over to the One Art, you know, where we were for our Million Woman March commemoration. It's the same location. They're going to go over to the One Art Community Center, and the rally's going to start at noon. But let me see, where is that starting at? Oh, okay, it's going to start at 11 a.m. At 52nd and Market Street, and then they'll march from 52nd and Market Street to the One Art location. So, family, and it just shows you again how there's not a lot of, you know, information that doesn't really flow here in Philly, because I didn't get this. I'm right here in Philly. I just got this from somebody in New York. It's just so ironic.
Well, if you one of our members gave me, and I probably have it upstairs in the box of where the books is and all the stuff that I have from the Mackey's group. She did give me a flyer on, they had a fundraiser in Alphabet City for Momia, and I think it was something about buses leaving, leaving Union Square. They're usually the ones that's doing it.
Okay.
I know I got it upstairs in the two big canisters where I keep my books at. You know, and it just take a little bit to get up there and search it to find. She did give me a paper that they was having something. And okay. I'm on the website now to see, because I know they had a fundraiser.
Here's the other thing that's going on here tomorrow, and it is Dr. James McIntosh will be here in Philly tomorrow. He will be speaking at the Molefi Kito Asante Institute. After
okay.
the, I guess it doesn't have a time here, so I'm assuming it says after the Mumia rally. So I'm assuming that it's going to be after the 3 o'clock session. Due to be here in Philly tomorrow at the Dr. Molefi Kito Asante Institute. Interesting. Well. I tell you.
Well, I'm on the website now. I'm trying to see if there's something on this website about the event. I know they had a fundraiser today down at Alphabet City. I'm trying to see, you know.
Wow.
Well, usually it's BA, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, again, this wasn't circulated very well here in Philly, and I'm not surprised because that's just what's going on here. I mean, the type of behavior and mentality that has been allowed in the city, you know, it's created this type of lack of communications and lack of information being circulated adequately. And so this is, again, why in terms of the black community here or black folks here in Philly are not as actively involved as they should be because, again, the information is not really placed in our community the way that it can be. And so, you know, we've got to ask questions sometimes. Information like this circulated right in our communities here in Philly. We have a black newspaper here. We have a couple of them. The Philadelphia Tribune and the Philadelphia Sunday Sun and what's known as the Scoop. These are all black newspapers. And so usually we don't see anything in those papers that announce what's going on when it comes to the rallies and so forth for Mumia. And so, again, you know, folks at some point need to ask some questions as to why. Why is that the case? So, you know, it is what it is. All right, family, well, listen, I'm glad we were able to find that before we closed out. Given the fact that we just played one of the latest commentaries from Mumia, and of course remind everyone that his Earth Day is Monday, the 24th. And by the way, we're hoping to hear from Mumia very soon because now that we know that we have to continue to fight for his freedom, we now know that we can proceed with our plans to set up the correspondence course with him. We've been working on that for a while, but we were hoping that he would be released, you know, for the last in March when the judge was to give the decision about his, you know, filing for a new trial.
Well,
we were hoping, of course,
you know,
that
she wasn't gonna jump over that broom deep down inside. I think we knew that she, you know, she could have did it, but she wasn't going to sacrifice her standing within the powers that be. But we still fought it, and we'll probably keep on.
Yeah, you're right, Brother Ray Ray. I mean, given the fact that others have been released, you know, that's why we were kind of optimistic because all of the Moon family have been released.
Right.
And so, for real, folks didn't think that was going to ever happen either. They really didn't.
Yeah.
But they have all been released. And that just happened in the past, like, 3 years. I think 4 or 5 of them were released in the past 3 years. So that's kind of why, you know, folks thought maybe this could happen, because it did, in fact, happen for 5 others who were charged with, you know, the so-called same kind of so-called crime. Yep. So that's why, it, you know, there was that possibility, because others were, in fact, released. But there's something else going on here. That's obvious. Definitely something else going on. And by the way, family, I want to remind everyone that next month we will be observing the dropping of the bomb here in Philadelphia. And on May the 13th, we will be doing, I'm sorry, May the 12th, we will be doing a special edition of New Day, which will also be on Zoom, and it'll be with Sister Ramona Africa. And again, that will be on March the 12th to commemorate.
Okay, this is from an organization that basically, according to the internet, basically the campaign to bring Momia home is sponsoring that.
Oh, okay.
Trip. And the buses is leaving. They're leaving New York Union Square, and
right.
It's a committee called the campaign. So I don't know who finances it, and they're going to leave Union Square, because usually they leave Union Square. They have a number here, a hotline, you know, and. That's the organization that's
okay.
That's doing it, you know.
Right, right. Well, that's one of
the
key
campaign.
Groups. Yeah, that's one of the key groups there in New York that, you know, that has been doing.
That's who's doing.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I don't know if they 9 times out of 10 they're connected with WBAI in some form or fashion.
Right. Yeah, I think so. I think Dr. Johanna Fernandez, I think she does a radio program on that station.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. But again, the mere fact that we didn't see much here in Philly in terms of information being circulated, once again, there has to be looked at very carefully. The other thing I want to mention, too, is that from May the 5th, there is a Dr. Motula Shakur fundraiser here in Philly on May the 5th. And that will be at the Rotunda, which is at 40th and Walnut Street. I do have that flyer, and so if anyone's interested, I'll be more than happy to forward that to you. I'm not sure if that's going to be live stream on Facebook. I think that it will be. But I'll know for sure next week. Brother Razakan is one of the coordinators for that event. And, of course, those who are not familiar with Brother Razakan, that's Mama Pam's mate, husband. And so he is one of the major coordinators for the May 5th tribute and fundraiser for Dr. Motula Shakur. And, of course, that's also an event that, you know, information will be available about Mumia as well. And, again, that's on May the 5th here in Philadelphia. And next week I'll be able to let you know if, in fact, that will be live streamed via Facebook Live. I think it's going to be, but I'll know for sure next week. Family, well, listen, I think we're going to close out early tonight again. Unfortunately, Sister Angela Khalifa was not able to join us. I think the weather there has prevented her from being I saw her in queue, but for some reason it clicked off. Since she did tell me that they were losing power on and off down there in the part of that she's in due to You know, there was a major, well, not a major storm, but there was enough of a storm to interrupt with communications. So we've been talking with Brother Ray Ray, which is always wonderful. And again, Brother, you know, I want to get that information to find out, you know, how we can get the book, because this past week's presentation for the NACI Study Group was another excellent, excellent session. And so we definitely want to support and definitely get that book, because that book was powerful. That information was powerful. Absolutely.
Well, information,
powerful.
You know, one thing about Dr. Mundelson, you know, it's funny, Sister Filet, when you look at, when you speak about, and you know, and then he was saying they got these Arabs down there that all of a sudden is trying to lay claim that, you know, they pissed off that they portrayed Cleopatra as black and all this nonsense. And if it ain't, you know, if it ain't one thing or another with these imposters, still trying to steal and claim things. I remember, I mean, I'm going to say this real quick. When I was driving the bus and this Arab bus driver came on and he had a picture of the pyramids. And he's actually on the bus with some black bus drivers trying to make people think that they had something to do with the building of those great civilizations. And I looked at him and I said, what are you doing showing this? You had nothing to do with that. But Dr. Mundelson and Dr. Ben and these great people that sacrificed, and he talks about the way the kings had to do and the rituals and the years of study to move into different corridors of knowledge, you know. It was just unbelievable, and nobody never talks about the, what do you, you know, what do you just think that Africans just went on and built these civilizations, and it had to be an economic system in place during those times.
Right.
They didn't just do it for free. Amos used to say it had to be an economic system in place during those great dynasties, the foods, how the foods was prepared, how did the people get paid to build these structures without a mistake, the writings. And then you start looking at Browder and them, and you got one section, and then you got 14 other sections under it. Every time these archaeologists is digging, they digging and finding, so and he was getting into that. So, you know, then you sit up there and you get the Africans that's supposed to be the great builders of the world paying some Asians to build a statue. What kind of nonsense is that?
The same kind of nonsense that hired other people to do the monument for Dr. King.
Yeah, you know, you're the greatest builders of the world, and you paying some Asians or some Chinese people billions of dollars to build some colossal in Ghana somewhere.
Wow. Yeah.
Submarine Ray.
No. This is why, again, we've got to develop our own. We cannot expect others, you know, and it's not to say that it won't happen at some point, but right now it ain't happening. And so
now Razu went back to Africa. The guy Razu, he spoke on your show. He's from Detroit. He went back to Africa. Steve Coakley's son went back to the motherland. It was a lady from UAM who brought a nice house back. She went back home.
Right.
And she had a house in Africa. You know, but when you go back there, the white man is still there. The Asian is still there. And if you think you're running someplace, they still there. Now,
oh, no. No, I think most people know that you ain't running nowhere.
You ain't running nowhere. And
yeah,
Razu,
the enemy is everywhere.
I put it on the Facebook page. Razu is on my Facebook page with him pushing some plywood that he was using to build the house or do some repairs in the house he got over there. And he said they had to push it this many miles. So the masses, I don't know what these kings and these heads of state, I don't know what they're doing, hooking up. But masses of Africans are going to benefit. Of course, a whole bunch of them is trying to come here, and if they're getting ready to collapse the American dollar here, what you going to do here? You here.
Mm.
If they collapse everything here, we are here.
Wow.
We are here. So,
well, right.
You figure that one out.
Well, you know, Brother Ray Ray, it just so happened, and I know folks, most don't know this, because, again, certain types of information is not distributed widely, and particularly not to folks that are just regular everyday folk. But starting on Monday, there is something called the Pan-African Trade Global Trade Conference that's going to be happening. Actually, it's from April the 26th through the 30th, and it'll be happening in California. Now, this is very interesting. It's supposedly the 11th annual Pan-African Global Trade and Investment Conference. So we're going to be getting a report from this very soon. But like you said, Brother Ray Ray, again, there are a lot of other people making major moves throughout the diaspora, and particularly in Africa. And when we got to start asking ourselves, how is this going to impact us? Because it surely is at some point in time.
Well,
so again, family, we will be getting a report from this conference that starts on the 26th.
No, it's and one it's, thing that Amos,
yeah.
Amos, the little bit of time I had to spend with Amos while he was here, and he definitely left too soon. Amos would sit there in that office, family, and Amos would say, the African is going to fall out of the hands of the European and right into the hands of the Asians. The Asians don't owe us a goddamn thing. And they showed it on YouTube of these Chinese whooping this African because he did something wrong in the factory, allegedly. So
yeah,
I calls up Dr. Lewis and I'm saying, Doc, did you see the YouTube video of this African that's tied up in the Arabs and they whooping them, and the Chinese is whooping them and talking about them and this and that, and everybody saying what the Chinese is doing over there, blah blah blah. So Dr. Lewis said, what's wrong with you? Have you done lost your mind? He said the white man been robbing Africa for 10,000 years, stealing everything they could get their hands on, and they got you blaming some allegedly whooped the black person and put it on all on TV, and now you done forgot about what that white man done did all over in that continent? You're losing your mind, boy.
Wow. Yeah,
you ain't running from them nowhere, because they over there still, and they more over there feeling than they doing over here, because what they're saying is over here is done. But what they're saying, America is done. Then how come everybody, you know, wouldn't they build a factory over there? From what I understand, when the corporations are allowed to build a cheap factory where I brought a DeWalt drill from Home Depot or anything you buy, that it says it's made in Taiwan, Vietnam, Bangladesh, India, wherever, but it ain't made in America, and it ain't, factory ain't in Baltimore, Philly, where the ports was heavily run by the Italians and the factories and people was working and everybody was this and that. He said once they allowed them to build a massive factories over there with their cheap labor, they have to allow, it's a deal that they allow a certain amount of people to come to America and they finance them and give them money to open up their businesses and come right into the black community. And that's one of the reasons why out in Coney Island, the Italians run Coney Island. And they had some kind of Arab or something. It was in the newspaper where he called himself opening up a weed shop. And the
right.
Italian boys, they faces all on the camera, and they went into the store and whooped his ass. And all of a sudden, ain't nobody seen nothing, because that's what they do. They roll in there, and they start kicking ass and taking names, excuse my language. They don't, and it's all on the news, and here go the news. If anybody in the community could help us find these people, please let us know.
Oh, my gosh.
He opened up a weed spot, and they went in there, and they tore the store up.
Wow.
They said, you ain't coming around here selling that nonsense. Not in this part of Coney Island.
Wow. So refresh my memory. So is New York now legal?
Yeah, they jumping out of cars. Sister Filet, Philadelphia. You wake up in the morning, come out your house, and people walking down the street smoking weed. And if you say something, they tell you, get out of my face. And they opening up stores. The all these other folks is opening up businesses, smoke shops, selling it.
Right.
And the only people buying it, you even got white folks running around smoking it.
Is it legal? Is it recreationally legal now in New York? Because it's not here in Philly yet.
You could go in the store and buy it and roll it up.
Oh, okay.
And you walk down the street with your granddaughter or your son, and they can smell it all in the street.
Sure. Yeah. Yes, like that.
Work it out yourself. Sound like legal to me.
Well, when I say legal, I mean, well, yeah, that is, but you can't walk in a store here. I mean, you know, they do it of course they smoke it anywhere, everywhere now, but I'm saying you can't go into a store. That hasn't happened here yet. It will. It's coming, but it hasn't happened yet.
It does say in that book that I brought, I have the book over here, that it basically states that, according to the book, wait a second, and I think I have this book right. And as a matter of fact, Brother Darren out of Philly, babe, the book is called, and it actually basically states the person behind the legalized marijuana, Dope Incorporated. Dope Incorporated, Britain's Opium War Against the World. And it basically has something in there pertaining to, I didn't read the whole book, that old good old boy Soros is the one behind the legalization of all this stuff. So, while we getting high, they setting up shop.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
And they can't do nothing about it.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, the legislation will pass here. I mean, it's already in Chicago and I think New Jersey. The legislation has already passed. And what people don't realize is that after a while, they're going to be, you know, literally growing. The government, that is, will be growing its own brand of cannabis, and that's when the issue. You think COVID was something? Wait till you get a hold of that stuff.
Well, you know, and then you don't even know what they're gonna, and if you don't even know what they're gonna be spiking it with. You just don't know what diabolical plan. And the young ones is smoking it, and a lot of things is happening, and pushing people in front of trains, and they just got them doing all kind of crazy stuff. So they got this weed in them along with that injection, and it's just going nuts. And they rolling it up, and if you better not say nothing. You better not open up your mouth. They're going to jump in your face.
That's why we have to begin focusing on how we're going to have our own communities. And it is doable. If other people can have their own boroughs, their own townships and things of that nature, so can we. But we have to be focused enough to do that. And you're right, Brother Ray Ray. The way this thing is going, our people are going to be so zombie-tized, for lack of a better word.
And that was one of the reasons why them folks out there, Coney Island, Bensonhurst, and those places where they cracked us in the head with baseball bats, them last of the Italians, Coney Island Avenue used to be Italians, and now it's Arabs. Indians, Pakistanis, they got their own community. You don't see no weed shops over there, but they ain't going to allow it. But they packed in Bed-Stuy.
Wow.
So them guys that went into that store, they didn't hide their faces. They didn't have their hats over their head. On camera, they, according to the news, the filet.
Well,
they went into the store and beat the crap out of the guys, like to say, listen, you ain't selling that stuff here. You ain't go back to where you came from, but it ain't, you ain't opening up no stuff, not in this area.
Well, again,
if we try that, look what we're going to have. If anybody else, and they still trying to find them. They ain't find the people yet. They did it last week. They setting down the law.
Well,
I don't know what you think, but you ain't coming around here.
Well, again, it's up to us now to determine how we want to proceed because, you know, there are a few places where they do have a little control over what their community is doing. I'm talking about black folks. Perfect example, you got the Gullah Geechee Nation, the Gullah Geechee peoples. I mean, for that small area, they do have some say about what goes on in their community.
And they
and
probably
so,
ain't allowed no nonsense.
But I'm saying if they can do it, and they have done it, we have to look at what we need to do. That's the point I'm making, because none of that other stuff is going to change and it ain't going to benefit us. So some of our time and energy needs to be focused on how can we develop our own communities, just like they did with the Gullah Geechee people. Why can't we do that? Because we already know what the enemy is going to do. We already know what they already did.
I understand, you know, and now they done co-opted black folk. And they got black folks doing it up now, and they really doing the bidding for, they really got them in the front.
But I'm saying again, Brother Ray Ray, we've been knowing that for 100 years.
For a while. And we know for a while, but
So we got to come up with what our plan of action is going to be. That's where we're in the 21st century. And if we do not begin to start focusing on how we are going to move forward, then I don't know.
It's game over. It's game over.
Yep. That's right. I'm telling you, we better be trying something. I ain't saying it
we
all
ain't
work or whatever, but we better be trying to do something else.
We still a race of people that's not protected. Everybody else is protected. And you got black folks in high places, and ain't nobody saying a damn thing about it. Because a black person is doing it, at least in New York.
And once again, we got to look at those of us who know these things, are thinking in similar and same kind of ways. We got to focus more now on what are we going to do. That's just the bottom line now. That got to be a part of the conversation and a part of the work. What are we going to do?
Y'all doing it already in Philly. Y'all done took over a building. And I know it's people in Philly that they got houses in Philly. Y'all done took over a building. So that's one positive. You ain't nobody taking over nothing here. Ain't no building to take over. They done locked it all down.
Wow. So hold on, Brother Ray Ray. I think Sister might be trying to get back in. Wow, let me check to see. This is a different number, but it's the same area code. So let me check. Hold on 1 minute. Let me see if this is Sister Angela. Is that you?
No, it's somebody else. It's Khalil.
Okay. I'm sorry. What is your name?
Khalil Reed.
Okay. All right. So, was there something you wanted to share with us?
I did, but I wanted to listen to the rest of the show first to get on track.
Oh. Okay. Well, we're getting ready to close out. So, are you in the Virginia area? Because it's the same area code.
Yeah, I'm in the Virginia area.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. How did you get the information about our show?
From Blog Talk Radio. I've been listening to Blog Talk Radio for a long time.
Oh, I see. Okay. Interesting. Okay. Well, I thank you for calling in. And this is obviously your first time calling. Is that correct?
I'm guessing so. I don't know, though, because I've been on so many shows on Blog Talk, I can't keep count.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure this is your first time, because I think I would have recognized both your voice and your number. But anyway, again, thank you for calling, and we will continue.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That was interesting. All right, family, listen, it doesn't seem like Sister Khalifa is able to get back in. And so what we're going to do, since we're close to the closing out time anyway, I guess we need to get ready to close out for real now. Brother Ray Ray, back to you briefly. Before we close out, again, family, want to remind everyone that Monday is Mumia Abu-Jamal's Earth Day, and if you are interested in signing on to our birthday card, Earth Day card that we will be sending him, you can just give us you can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, and we will add your name onto the card that we're going to send, or you can text us at area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. And again, we will add your name to our card that will, of course, entail, you know, best wishes, you know, stay strong, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, moving right along before we close out. Oops, hold on 1 minute. Let me do, okay, there we go. Okay, family, we are going to get ready to close this session out. And again, we're going to remind
you.
Go ahead,
you're
Brother
coming up for the. You're coming up for the thing for Malcolm?
Yes.
How many people is coming with you?
I don't know yet. We're just putting it out there to people, you know, to let them know that we are coming. And, you know, hopefully folk will, you know, sign on. So far we have about five that you know, have shown interest. But we didn't, you know, really put it out there just yet. But we're going to start doing that actually tomorrow. We'll start kicking it out there. So I know, you know, at least five of us are planning to come. Mama Pam is coming, and, of course, Baba Razakine, her husband. And I think they have a car full. So that's a good five right there, should be. So at this point, we're saying from 5 to 10. Yep. So they're definitely, you know, taking a car because Brother Razakon, you know, he has like a van, not a van, but I forget what it's called. But they seat a good, you know, six people, I believe. So definitely we're hoping that, you know, if we get enough people, we will rent a van to come up.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, we'll know in the next week. We'll know in the next week what the response
is. At least y'all, you say what we're doing, at least y'all making an attempt to get a building and try your best. Ain't nobody taking nothing over in New York. It's done. New York is done. Bedford-Stuyvesant is no longer the black community. I don't care what nobody says. The black community is done in Bedford-Stuyvesant. They just got lackeys looking out for white folk and the new people, and they will break their behind to help them. So don't even mention Bedford-Stuyvesant or Brooklyn being the hub of the black community. I went to my amboy, Betsy Head Pool, and I went to her house today, 11 o'clock in the morning. And the whites are walking down Mother Gaskin Boulevard. They in the park, and this used to be one of the most devastating areas. They in the park with their skateboards. The Asians is all over there buying, getting them houses up. So they there, and ain't nobody saying nothing. So at least y'all got a chance to do something over there. That's what you're doing. You and the people in Philly are doing it. New York, you ain't taking over nothing. They got it locked up, and black folks is at the head of it. The real estate is locked up. Nothing.
Yeah.
So y'all got a chance to succeed. New York, done. It was done 5 years ago.
Wow.
And what's making it so bad, when they, every time they come in and black folks are losing their houses that they've been in years. And what happens is you have these black folks running around talking about, yeah, but you should be glad they coming in because look what your house is worth. But the problem is that the seniors, Emily, the taxes go up, and if you're on a set income, meaning you might be doing all right now, but the more they paying for these houses, your taxes, your water bill, and the maintenance of the house goes up, but your salary doesn't go up. So if your kids are not making the salary, if something happens to you, or if one person leaves, then the house goes in foreclosure. There's a young lady on the block had almost a 10-unit house. The Jews took it because she couldn't keep it up. And
so,
they running around,
you know,
thinking.
We have a similar situation here, Brother Ray Ray. And I think you might have, I don't know if you heard the radio program a few weeks ago. We had a brother who works in the sheriff's office. And what he shared with us is, and this is what's going on a national level, by the way, he shared with us that not only is it that, meaning, you know, they are upping the taxes and driving people into foreclosure. He talked about how insider trading is going on, meaning that within some of the city structures, within some of the city agencies, that they are literally setting it up so the developers can get access to these properties.
Oh, you see?
And so that's a whole nother area of what it is. But see, again, what we need to begin to look at doing is how we can begin pulling our monies together and start purchasing collectively, just like other people do.
You're doing it now. You're in the process of making something happen that's really unbelievable. That's not happening in New York.
Right.
The main pork chop eating civil rights leaders were all members of the real estate board, and they all answered to the Jews who control and stuff. And regular black people are losing their houses like shit. End of story.
Yeah, it's the same way here. The only difference is that we're fighting, and we're fighting in such a way that we're doing the kinds of research and other things that helps us to really go into the battlefield. So again, while most are focusing on civil rights, it's very difficult to go into these courts now with civil rights stuff. When you're talking about real estate or property, you have to present your situation in a manner that shows discrimination and, in our case, human rights violations. And that's what gives us the leverage at this time. But listen, family, we have reached that hour. I thought we were going to close out early, but we actually went to the full length of our program, and it is now that time. We've been talking with Brother Ray Ray, of course, as you can tell, he's based in New York, and certainly what we've been talking about in terms of gentrification, forced foreclosures or predatory lending, things of that nature is all connected to the dismantlement of our communities nationwide. But again, we have to come up with a plan of action about what we're going to do. And even though, like in New York, also there's other cities, Chicago, for example, ain't a whole lot of difference that really can be made. But that doesn't mean we could not continue to fight. We have to continue to do that in whatever way possible. And so, again, we're going to be talking more about in the near future. There's going to be several sessions coming up that'll be virtually that's going to talk about land inequality, how we can begin to start getting back what is rightfully ours. And remember, today was Earth Day. Who are the original peoples of the planet Earth? We're going to ask ourselves that question. And with that, utilize some strategies based on that, perhaps. The original peoples of the planet. That gives us certain, shall we say, inalienable rights. Well, at least we should
right,
try
yeah,
to forward.
Yeah. Right.
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 Try
right to do what?
Well, there it is. That's on us. That's going to be the question that we need to be raising, because we already know that other people ain't. We already know
well,
that.
Well, like I said, out of building, you're attempting to make some changes. So y'all doing it in Philly, and I got to give you kudos. New York, they just moseying along.
Well, it's still a struggle, my brother, until we get the actual deed in our hand. It's still a struggle, but it's a winnable struggle. We just have to continue to fight, and we shall. But again, what is the saying? Unless there is a struggle or a demand or whatever, you ain't going to win, period. And so we cannot ever give up. We just can't. We got to continue to fight no matter what.
Well, let me tell you, let me tell you a quick story. They had some white folk here. What y'all did, see, they giving y'all a little problem. Now, they got some white folks in Brooklyn, poor white folks, and nobody knows they in there. And when they get in there, they clean it up, they set up shop.
Right.
And then the city secretly gives them the money to fix the place up, and then they're able to stay in there.
Right.
They did it around here and took about 5 buildings. And they snuck in through the thing and lived in there with nothing in there, and the city didn't send the goons in there to get them out. And they wind up getting all these properties. Of course, the city won't throw them out, but when black folks try it, they come right in and they snatch them out of there. Give
wow.
them loans. They did it. It's amazing. But that's just another
yeah.
story. What it is what it is.
Well, we are going to have to figure out how we can proceed, how we must proceed. Again, there's a lot of land in the U.S., and even though, you know, some of the building situation is less feasible in certain areas, because there is land all around the U.S., and again, to utilize some different strategies. You're not hearing our people talk about reparatory justice in the context of obtaining land. We have to at least try some other kinds of strategies. So there is a few groups, not many, that you know, approach it in that manner, the Republic of New Africa being one. But for the most part, most groups and organizations in the U.S. that are black folks, they ain't talking about utilizing other concepts, methods, strategies, and so forth to obtain some stuff. We keep utilizing the same models, and that's not going to work in this day and age. So again, these are some of the conversations that we're going to be talking about more in the future. Again, of course, Recharge Genocide 21 is coming, which will bring about a national black political and social justice agenda. This, again, has to be put in place. We've got to begin to look at how we're going to maneuver during the next 10 years. And we have to make those decisions. And it has to be grassroots folk involved in that, not the so-called higher echelon. And so that is going to be our focus for July, from July 25th through the 30th. So we'll definitely keep you posted on that. You can get more information by going to the website. The website will be updated actually starting tomorrow. But you can get some general information by just going to WCG21.com. And then again, after tomorrow, it will be updated with some more information and other ways for you to get involved. So, Brother Ray Ray, I thank you as usual for helping us to stretch tonight's program out, since our guest was unable to join us. And we want to remind everyone again, of course, Sister Keisha, Thorough Black Talk, Thursdays, 8 o'clock. You can catch them on YouTube. Brother Lee is on tomorrow, Africa on the Move. You can catch him on Blog Talk Radio. They come on at 7 o'clock. And, of course, we will be back next week, same time. And we'll be giving you our report from the State of the World, or the Black World Conference. We'll be checking that out tomorrow, and we'll give you a report on that. All right, family, listen, we're going to head out, and we thank you all again. And listen, you all know, if there's no justice, there's no what, Brother Ray Ray?
Peace.
Ain't
well,
no peace, though.
If you're going down there, actually see, and like you said, State of the Black World. Now, y'all done took a building and are in the process of trying to make something happen. Let's see if any of these State of the Black World will help y'all see if any State of the Black World will help finance. State of the Black World. With all these high-profile people that I saw on that website.
Yeah.
Howard University. I know they got a lot of bullies over there. Let's see if anybody could help finance that massive structure so y'all could do something. And that would be a good state of the Black World to help.
I knew that's right. All right, my brother. Well, we will definitely give you a report next week. And family, until next time, we say Pomoja to the Shinda. Together, we shall win. And guess what? We're going to get some victory soon, y'all. I mean, hey, can't lose all the time. So that means we got to be doing something. Got to be doing something right because we are going to win. All right, family. Till next time. Talk to you next week. Hey, Brother Ray Ray, talk to you soon and continue the great work for the Mackey Study Group.
Okay, Philadelphia, love you. Stay strong. See you later, Sister Blake.
All righty. See you.